it started off adventurous, real adventurous.
Hey, everybody.
Before so, y'all, you we... laugh.
Oh. Y'all, we already talking. Y'all, we already in the talking mode. So, y'all, hey, we're back. Let's talk about it. It's your girl, Alice Robinson, and come on, ladies, make some noise.
Hey, I'm Dorina.
Hey, I'm Dawn Marie in the house.
We're back. We're back. So y'all probably heard our chit chat.
Welcome back.
So we're glad that you're back too. Let's talk about it on Friday night. So happy to be here again tonight with my amazing sisters. So we're talking to Dorina because Dorina had a trip to the beautiful place of Mexico. I ain't never been. It was just talking about that.
No, I have. I've been to Cozumel, Mexico. Cozumel, Mexico.
I ain't never been. I ain't even been close.
Yeah, I've been a few parts.
So how was your trip? That's what Dorina was just sharing with me and Dawn, how her trip was to...
Well, I went to take my daughter for her 21st birthday. So this was her birthday present. So, but before, we was leaving on Wednesday morning. Sunday night, I'm washing, because I said I'm going to actually pack prior to Tuesday. So I'm washing Sunday, and I fall down the stairs, face first. I had some Crocs on, and the shoe got caught in between the steps. So I missed about three to four steps. But what saved me was we had just went to Costco and got the toilet tissue and paper towel. You laughing, but I am so serious. Because you want a big old Costco.
They saved your life.
So I had a basket in one hand and the paper towel and toilet tissue was at the bottom of the steps off to the side. So when I fell, I literally squished the paper towel and toilet tissue. So that was my cushion. So my foot just got stuck. So I was like, okay, I'm a little sore. So then when I decided to soak it, I saw it was all black and bruised and stuff. I've never seen feet look like that, you know, that wasn't something wrong with it. So I said, okay. So I go to urgent care. And the doctor was like, they don't look good. Here, let's tape it up. Gave me this ugly green and blue boot the first time. So then, but x-ray was closed when I went. So I went back the next morning and I get a phone call. Oh, yeah. It's broken. But it's not the one we thought was broken. So you need to come back in so we can bandage the correct ones.
So you were walking on a broke leg and
foot in Mexico. Did you even have fun? Who walk around in a boot?
No, before she even got to Mexico, Alice, they bandaged the wrong foot. So she was walking with the broke foot.
No, but I went back before I left, so they bandaged the right one. I mean, they bandaged the correct, and it wasn't the whole foot, it was just a couple of toes. So they bandaged the correct ones.
But you went on your trip with a broke
foot. And they gave
me
a boot, but I didn't put on the whole boot. So I got to go to the orthopedic doctor.
So what you mean you didn't put on the whole boot? So what'd you put on? They don't have boot.
No, they gave me, you know, the ugly.
The boot ugly, that you can pump up?
The shoe thing.
Oh, the shoe.
Oh. With a broke foot? Wait, what?
But they gave me this ugly. Girl, who going to walk around this thing here?
Somebody who want to keep her leg? I'm so confused.
Toes, want to keep your toes. So, so you know what? You don't know ugly. When I broke my heel, they had me in this boot that you got to pump up the sides. So you're like a space boot. Yep. They had me in like a space boot. And they don't make boots for little people.
Talk about it.
So the boot was too high up to my leg. I was like, this thing it was rubbing the back of my leg. I said, this is too high. So, girl, but overall, how was the trip, though? I mean, I know you went with a broke toe. Some toes broke.
Aaliyah enjoyed it. I gained 4 pounds. So,
but you were sporting the shoe. You were sporting that shoe though, weren't you though?
Yeah, I did. All I did was walk around and eat.
Didn't even go to the Mayan ruins, did you?
I did not leave the resort. I left my particular resort because it was like 4-in-1. So I left mine. And when I went to the other part, I saw a sign that said, beware alligators. So I wasn't trying to stay over there. So I was like, let me go back to my part of the resort. Because at least we just had the capybaras, the birds, the snakes, the iguanas, the lizards.
That was already a lot for me.
Like anteaters, right?
That was already a lot for me.
These are the ones that crawl around while you're walking, right?
Well, in my part of the resort, they just said, do not walk on the grass. But you know, when I saw that on the other part of the resort, about the alligator part, I was doing this.
So I'm going to have to rethink. I'm going to have to rethink Mexico. I'm going to have to rethink that. Because when they talk about don't get in the grass.
But that was just.
Think that.
I've been to different parts of Mexico before. I have never seen a beware alligator sign. Never.
Well, don't go to Florida. Don't go to Florida then.
I'm not trying. I'm not trying. I already
they got them all over the place.
They walk in front of you. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a place you want to go. So how was your day, your week? Because we talked a little bit this week, but how was your overall week?
Let's start with last week and why we didn't get a chance to talk. Hold on, I got dogs getting ready to fight. Stop it. My daughter bought these dogs some chinolas. I don't know if you guys know what these things are, and if I could get one from this dog, I'll show you. Don't buy these for these dogs because they like crack for dogs. Oh my God. My one dog is
blind. What is it?
Hold on. Let me see if I can get one. Hold on. Uh-oh. Hold on. Because you got to see.
Is it a toy or is it a snack?
It's a snack. Hold on.
Them dogs ain't giving up that snack. Can I see it? Please. Let me see it. She said, can I see it, please? She said, I'll give it back. He's like, leave my.
Okay. It hold on.
Look like granola.
Right. It looks like a granola bar. And it has what I don't know what's on there, but crack. It's this long. Girl, it's crack for the dog. And so every time they get one of these, they literally fight. Even the dog that's blind will tear Bentley's tail up and Bentley be trying to because he'd be bogart. This is not yours. Don't you come over here. Here you go.
What is it called?
Chunola.
Chunola. Who makes that?
A granola.
Purina. I think it's Purina. Chewnola. So anyway, they fighting over that. And okay. It's a granola bone for the dogs. And they like them. So, but anyway, last week we were going to do the podcast. And because I had a situation that caused me to lose my ever-loving mind, I didn't have no energy. And I talked to Alice and the girls wasn't there. And it was enough time for me to just say, you know what? I got to go to bed. I got to close my eyes because if I stay woke, I'm going to hurt somebody. I'm going to cut somebody. So last week I have a person that stays with me and that person was drunk. And that person decided that they were going to take a shower and they went back in their room, drunk, went to sleep, left the shower running, and the tub in that particular bathroom, the stopper, yeah. It's one of those push-ins and push-outs. So long story short, the water from the pressure of the shower caused the plug to close. I was gone for 45 minutes. Didn't even know the water was running. I came home. The bathroom was flooded. My hallway was flooded. That person's bedroom was flooded. And all my son's equipment downstairs was getting drenched in my garage. My son got $60,000 equipment down there, two of them in his garage. That's why his business and plus his Mac computer. And I was just like, why? Why? the last time this something similar to this happened, the person decided he was going to light firecrackers with my grandson. And it was windy outside after the first of the new year. And I said, it's very windy outside. Don't do that. Burnt my front lawn and the neighbor's lawn because the wind blew the firecracker and it set the lawn on fire. And he stood there drunk. I'm a wow. And my grandson had to tell him, don't you think we should get that hose off grandma's house and put the fire around? So I said all that to say, this is what my week has been like. Can we talk about trauma?
But you know what?
Can we talk about trauma and what leads to trauma and different causes of trauma that people can... There was no loss of life. But this is somebody else's property.
Yeah.
And you're here as a guest. And you don't think you have a problem. So because you don't think you have a problem, it's affecting everybody else in this house. There's four grown people in this house. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So that's kind of like how my week's been dealing with that, because this is becoming a more habitual thing. Every day is getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell my son, you need to talk to that person. Because when I start talking, I ain't the saved Dawn. I ain't the Christian holier than thou Dawn. I'm the Dawn from the hood that started revving up. Because now you're interfering in my peace.
Yeah.
And in my house, I will have peace.
And it's causing like, so y'all, our topic tonight, if you didn't catch it, is trauma. And dealing with life and how the trauma is affecting, and what people don't understand, your trauma can affect other people and other people's lives. So on tonight, let's talk about it. We're going to talk about trauma, y'all. So they already know my week. My week was rough. Yeah, I mean, I'm grateful that I'm still here. We're still in the land of the living. I'm grateful for that. But it was a long week. Yes, God. And I deal with people every day that's dealing with some type of trauma, and whether it's death through natural or death through somebody taking it. So I deal with that all day, all week. So this week, can't mention the names, of course, of the people that I meet with, but two of the young men that families that I met with on this week are trauma. Both of them are homicide clients. So where I work at, will not mention the name of the facility I work at, but we are full to capacity.
With bodies?
Some,
with
yes,
people?
With people, some with individuals, some with natural, but we have young men that were murdered. So that is, the family is dealing with the trauma of losing a loved one by somebody else's hand. So that has been my week on this week. So we're going to talk about trauma. I see it every day. I think all of us do. And not just see it, but we deal with it. So who wants to start it off
on
tonight?
It.
Say it again.
Let Rinda do it. She been on vacation. She rested up.
Well,
she saw the sunshine.
According to the
definition, I'm trying to get other computers started up. Go ahead.
Of trauma, trauma is damage to the mind caused by a severely distressing event or events that overwhelm a person's ability to cope. Can result in PTSD, psychological trauma, and it needs steps towards healing and recovery. So that is what trauma is.
So with trauma,
and it comes in different ways. It hits you different ways.
Yeah, because you can have acute trauma or chronic trauma, just to throw that out there. So there's different, and then acute trauma is short-term response to a perceived real threat. So it's more like what happened right now. You're dealing with it at the moment. Does that make sense to everybody? So acute trauma is like what you're dealing with, right? Somebody, you know, God forbid, holding a gun to your head or holding a knife. You're in that acute trauma right now. So that's what that means when it's talking about acute trauma. So transparent moment. Have any of y'all ever dealt with trauma? Because that's what we're talking about. So we're not talking about something that we haven't dealt with. So those that are listening to this, we're talking about life experience that we have faced ourselves. So we're not going off of what somebody else experienced. So anybody want to talk about any? And I mean, I know that some of it we probably won't go in depth or details, but any trauma that you have experienced in your life.
My traumas. Oh, go ahead, Renna. You go. You go first. You go first.
I was going to say sexual abuse. That's a big trauma that caused you to be stuck, because they say that whatever age you are traumatized, sometimes you can get mentally stuck in that particular age. Yeah. And that causes all types of psychological issues. Anger, resentment, depression, anxiety. It causes
trust issues. Yeah.
Definitely trust.
Trust. Yep. Especially when it's from someone that you trusted
or supposed to be.
I was
trusted.
Abused as a child. Yeah, I was abused as a child, physically and mentally, and most of my childhood I was abused physically, and I've been raped, and I was 20. No, I was 18 when that happened. But that was that's a story for a different day. But trauma comes. The problem with trauma is that it's not so much that it's the trauma that happened. It's the flashbacks that keep coming back. That's where you get stuck.
The memory.
Because something could trigger that thing, that memory. And then you can't, you're paralyzed and you don't know how to cope with it. And so, for me, I just keep going. I just keep going like it didn't, and pretend like it didn't happen, didn't happen, didn't happen, didn't happen, because I don't know no other way but to keep going. You know, when growing up in the 60s and 70s, we ain't do no counseling. They ain't do no counseling. What counseling? What? But, and the people who were doing the traumatizing and the abusing were the very people that you couldn't trust, were the very people doing it to you, you know. Yeah.
And I call those flashback moments.
I just realized, a few years ago, that what I experienced as a child was truly a part of PTSD.
Yeah.
You know, people think PTSD is military only, and it is not.
Oh, no. No, it's any
is not.
Trauma.
I'm trying to get my other team up.
No, you're good. It's any trauma that has impacted.
No, go ahead, because I'm trying to get my other computer out.
No, you're fine. It's any trauma that has impacted your life. Not, you know, so we want to take the stigma off of that. It's a military thing. It's not. It's any form of trauma that you have experienced in your life that has caused you to become paralyzed in that moment. So I call them flashback.
And you can't move forward.
No, and I call it flashback moments.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I call it flashback moments because it's a memory that it could be a smell that triggers it. It could be a color. It could be a sound. It could be anything that you may have experienced. That you may have experienced at the moment of that trauma. And so, yeah, so with me, the thing that I saw my dad, love him. He's gone on. But when he was, I'm going to say when he wasn't a good man, I don't know how it's when he was an alcoholic.
That's a good way to put it.
when he was an alcoholic, he was very abusive. So I saw a lot of violence, and a lot of people look at me and probably look at my siblings and they would never know or never be aware that there was that type of violence in the home, to where, so I always had a fear of sirens and never really said it because police was always coming to the house. Always, because my dad would be so violent when he would be drunk. And so that's what we heard. We heard sirens. So my trigger, and I had to pray. I had to tell the Lord, I said, you're going to have to help me, because when I would hear sirens, I would get stuck. Literally, because I would remember my dad beating my mom or fighting my eldest brother. So that was one of the things. And then so me, I don't like the smell of alcohol at all. I can't stand the smell of it whatsoever, because it gives me a flashback moment of when my dad would be drinking. So yeah, those are some triggers that you deal with. So Dawn, you got yours up and running?
Yeah, all my computers decided they wanted to reboot at the same time. So it's just like I'm trying to get them all set up here and situated. What happens, you know, the effects of trauma, you know, we just said about being paralyzed and being stuck. You know, some of us can't get past those things in our adult life. We just, like I said, we just keep going and we keep going and we don't realize why we can't go further than where we should be. And even as Christians, you know, it ain't just those that are not saved. This happened more so to a lot of Christians.
Yeah, because
we hide so well with that. And so we find ourselves hiding under the, you know, the guidance of, the Lord's going to heal me. I'm saved. I trust God. When in fact, God has equipped people with degrees, has got initials behind their names, not one or two, but 10 different initials,
mm-hmm.
that is equipped to help us to get the help, to get us out of that stuck stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I know last time we talked, we talked about, you know, different ways. Some, not all psychologists and psychiatrists are good fit for you, but until you find that one, you need to talk to somebody.
Keep working, and that's the way
through this.
And that's the key. Just because that one wasn't in, it doesn't mean that there's not somebody out there that's a fit for you. If you want to be free, if you want to be helped, if you don't want to be stuck, you'll keep knocking until you find that right person that is a fit for you. But, you know, it's important that you get help. It is, because I'm going to tell you, trauma can lead to so many other things to transpire in your life. Like, you know, being stuck is one thing, but turn it into depression.
Mm-hmm.
And then suicide tendencies step in. So it is important that you get the help, because that's when you step into complex trauma.
It affects relationships.
It does. It is like a domino, and I don't care what nobody says, it isn't a domino effect. One thing, you know, when you set up a thing of dominoes and you push one, and if you line it up, everything is going to eventually fall. So it affects things in your life. So if it's affecting you, eventually it's going to affect your job. It's going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect your children. And that's not a thing you want to pass down to your children. It is not. It's not something you want to pass down to your children. So, you know, getting the help you need, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, like Dawn was saying, so many times in the church, we want to keep it as a secret. We want to cover it up, but that's not helping. That's not helping you. And honestly, you really not being a benefit. You may not like it, but I'm going to say you're really not being a benefit to the kingdom, because you're not whole. You're not. So why not fix what you know you can fix? Do what you know that you need to do to be able to live past that moment. And that's a good part, living past that moment, because some of us are not living at all because we're stuck. And that's something that Darina and Dawn was talking about, being stuck in that moment. You're not living. Let's learn how to live past that moment, because what we want to remember, that moment is not defining. Don't let that moment define who you are. Don't let it define who you are. So, Darina, you got something else, Dawn?
Well, I was just going to, you know, give you some of the trauma, the effects of trauma, you know, the anxiety. Some people have so much trauma that they can't even leave the house, or they can't be in crowds of people, or what's the word I'm looking for? There, you know, there's the depression, the sadness, the can't function, can't think. Some people have it so bad that they turn to alcohol. We'll talk about the alcohol, the drugs, to numb it. You know, my mom was an alcoholic, and I used to, my mom drank to a lot, and she was not a nice alcoholic. There's a difference.
Like my daddy.
She was a mean alcoholic. And again, I'm just being transparent. I ain't got nothing to hide. And it was always because of what happened to her as she grew up. And like you can't stand to smell alcohol. I can't. I despise an alcoholic. Please, and hear my heart in that. I love you with the love of the Lord, but you and I cannot have a relationship. I mean, I can be your friend, but when you start drinking, if you drink it more than one or two, and it become excessive, I can't be around you. Because that start bringing back memories. Because they say this, babies and drunks tell you the truth. You want to know the truth about yourself? Mess around and talk to a baby and a drunk. You're going to find out and get your feelings hurt. Because when people are drunk, they really tell you how they feel. And then they under the guise of, I don't remember saying that. I don't remember doing that. I don't know how that happened. What are you talking about? They and a lot of people like this sometimes end up homeless.
Yeah.
With trauma. Yeah. You know, you know, they can't deal with that. They become irritable. They become angry, and not so much at you. They're taking the anger out on you because they don't know how to project that anger to the right person, because 9 out of 10 times that person that did it to them or hurt them or caused the trauma is not even there. They're not even here anymore.
No,
and yet we're still holding on to that.
And some of them are not even thinking about it any longer. But you're stuck. You're stuck in that moment, and even to the point to where you can't cope, and it's making you almost out of control. Because, you know, what we want you to get out of this podcast is being able to gain control back. Take the control back. Take the power back. Get the help that you need. Because don't allow that, whoever, whatever situation that transpired to cause that trauma, don't let that have control over your life. Take it back. Take the power back.
Take it back.
Take the power back. Take the power back.
Yes.
So, you know, with my dad, it was a blessing. I got to see, and that might have even helped me heal, because I got to see the other side of my dad. A lot of people may never see the other side of the person that caused the trauma. I got to see my dad in the other light, to where he was no longer drinking. He said, you know, I'm sorry for what you saw or what you experienced as a child. Because that was, you know, he had an addiction that he didn't know how to get through. And so with me, I had the opportunity in the experience to see the other side of my dad. A lot of people don't have that. So that was a healing for me, and I believe for my, now some of my siblings, love them to death, are still dealing with the trauma of that past. You know, one of my brothers, I love him to death, but every now and then if he gets stressed, he drinks. And you know, that's not your go-to. One of my brothers, you know, was estranged for years. You know, it was a hit and miss that we would talk to him. He's just now back in the point of communication because he didn't know how to deal with the past.
And did any of your siblings turn to alcohol, Alice?
One of them did.
Yep, same here.
Yeah, same one here. Of them did. And I'm like, dude. And I'm like, bud, you saw, and the thing is, you were in it with us. You weren't exempt from what we experienced. So, you know, sometimes want to ask him a question, but I don't. If you saw all that with Dad, why would you want to drink?
Because he's stuck.
Well, not only that, sometimes it's an issue of they say, because I'm not the scientist, the official scientist, they say it's hereditary, yeah. Right? So, and then there is a sense of invulnerability where it's not going to happen to me. I can handle it. You know, yeah. I'm just doing it a little bit, just doing it to cope. So there's a issue of that. So,
And let me say this too. It is not, I know we can say alcohol because alcohol seems to be one of the number one things. And we can talk about, you know, the PTSD and the military and the things that they've seen in war that just traumatize the brain and they can't get past that because they're replaying these nightmares over and over and over again. But it's not just that. Like, I'll use myself as an example. My trauma caused me to overeat. So I gained weight. My addiction became food. I found comfort in eating and just eating because, you know, the things that were said to me, you'll never be nothing. Don't nobody want you. You this, you that. You ain't pretty, you that. That's stuff I grew up with my whole life. And then when I thought I was in love with a man that I thought was going to be my, you know, husband and the white picket fence and all this other stuff, the minute I started gaining weight after I gave birth, I got those same things, that same trauma stopped playing back. So it's drugs, it's alcohol, it's eating, it's with being withdrawn, is becoming isolating yourself. You crippling, you become crippled. Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you even check out of reality.
I did that for a long time. I'm not gonna hold you. I did that for a long time.
You know,
I don't want to be an adult. All the time. That has a whole lot of meaning. People think it's funny, but it has a whole lot of meaning behind that.
I think mine was more so living in a fantasy, like woulda, shoulda, coulda. So being stuck in, so if I had done this, then this wouldn't have happened, or not been in this situation. If I had told a different person, then it wouldn't have been multiple offenders, or, you know, if I didn't look a certain way, you know. So mine was always the fantasy.
But we also got to remember that we're not the ones that caused the trauma. There's never, because we have to remember we didn't put ourselves in the position to cause it. It's the individual that chose to do what they did. They made a choice to do what they did. So, you know, but a lot of times people will check out.
Yeah.
They will check out because of the situation being so bad that now I have a new reality. I will make, you know how you have them cartoons and you got two different worlds. Mm-hmm. You got a parallel world. Some people will try to make a parallel world. Does that make sense to you?
Yep. Yep.
And so that's where you are no longer coping with reality. And so, yeah, always daydreaming. And I think that's what Dorina was talking about a different reality. And I'm gonna make up a new life because this one ain't working for me.
This one ain't working, yeah. And try to live in that life, but the reality of the situation is you still got to pay bills, especially if you're on your own. You still got to find a way. And for those who can't, then we start talking about that homelessness. Then we start talking about living off the streets and struggling. And you know, a lot of people that's homeless, they've been through some trauma. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight. It's something that triggered them that they decided, I'm checked out. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The world keep punching me and hitting me and I can't take it anymore. So I'm just going to check out and just disappear into the woods somewhere. I was walking my dogs this morning in the park. And we walk all over this particular park, and there's a hill that we walk up. And I was like, why is that big old garbage bag sitting right there? I've never seen that before. I said, somebody threw a whole bag of garbage in, and it's a walk area where people, a pathway that everybody walks. And then as I got closer, my dog went into the protect mode, and I started seeing the bag moving. I'm like, oh, that's a person. It was a homeless person laying there. They had made themselves a mat in the woods right there on the pathway, and my dog was standing like trying to get to it but make sure I was okay. And I was just like, I just stopped and just started praying, you know, Lord, this, I don't know what this person's situation is, but help.
And the thing
them.
Is, yeah, because you know there go I,
yeah,
that could have been me.
Yeah.
But by the grace of God, he keeps us in our right mind. He keeps telling us, hey, I got y'all. I know that y'all life is a little rough. It is, but I'm keeping you. And the thing is that we want to be kept.
Yeah.
We want God to keep us. And so somebody told me today, he was like, people say you're a kept woman. I am a kept woman.
Girl, I want to be a kept woman. That's for sure.
I
want to
be a kept woman. I'm a kept woman. So, but you know, we use the word, you know, trauma. And the question is, can you be healed from trauma?
I'm a living witness.
Yes, you can, but you got to be willing to be healed. You can't be trying to seek help and then keep holding on to it too.
Yeah.
You got to really let go. I mean, let go. Because if you decide you want to, I want to be with this person, and I'm going to hide all my trauma and not tell them anything and live that, oh, we're a happy couple. Oh, he don't know anything or she don't know anything about me. Something's going to trigger that. And then the real you going to show up. And then that mess that you've been carrying and you've been hiding and that trauma you've been dealing with is going to pour into that relationship. And that once perfect relationship that you thought you had is no longer perfect. Because now you're bickering and fighting and everything that person look at you wrong or said something to you wrong. It brings back, flashback that memory, and now your trauma is poured into your mess. So you have to seek the help, want to help, and let go so that you can be helped.
And, you know, to love somebody, first of all, love yourself enough to know I'm worth the work. I'm worth letting it go. Because you really cannot love somebody until you love yourself enough to want to let it go.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
To let go of the hurt, to let go of the disappointment. And then the key word is forgive.
Yes, yes, yes.
Forgive the person that caused the harm. And I know everybody probably saying, oh, that's so easy. No, it's not.
No, no.
It's not easy.
No.
It's not
easy. I'm telling you, I wanted to actually do some physical harm. I wanted revenge. And I can tell you now, because it didn't happen, I was in the process of trying to find someone, hire someone to get revenge for the wrong that they have done. I mean, the unforgiveness was so deep that I literally was sick, battling depression, battling suicide. Had it not been for God and a praying mama,
come on,
I would not have been there. Because I literally, and it was funny, because you would think that at the time of the trauma, you would have, or I would have had a reaction then. it was years later that it resurfaced and it was just a spiral.
Because you didn't know you suppressed it. You didn't know you had suppressed it. It had been suppressed.
And actually, to this day, there are holes in my memory.
That's because you blacked out. That was a blackout moment.
And I still cannot tell you. I can tell you bits and pieces. And I know as a coping mechanism, I said, I'm the best person you can tell something to because I'm not going to remember. It's just,
I can't stand
it
you.
Comes and it goes.
I can't stand you sometimes. Oh my gosh, you were silly. It's like, so you give the, you're going to keep the best kept secrets because you ain't going to remember what we told you.
I mean, I might remember some, but later on down the line, years later, I'd be like, oh, who told me that? I think I remember.
Where did I hear that from? I heard that from somewhere.
Somebody told me something about that. But yeah, it is key for you. And I know that everybody was like, well, girl, forgiveness is for you, not for them. Well, it is.
No, it is. It is.
It's for you. So forgive them. And then once you really forgive them, then letting go can start. Healing can begin. But until you forgive them, and sometimes you got to forgive yourself, first of all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can even see the person now and wish them no ill will.
And don't want to hurt them?
No, I'm not trying to hurt them at this point. I mean.
And that's growth. That's growth.
That's one of them. Another one. Don't say nothing to me. I ain't trying to see them. You know,
you ain't there yet. Two,
they haven't apologized either.
Okay. Do they? So, and sometimes they may never.
That's true.
And sometimes they may never, ever come back and say, hey, I'm sorry for what I did. And you know what? And sometimes they don't think they did anything wrong.
That part.
And so that's where it still come back to the point to where you're going to have to forgive them. You don't. And the thing is, forgiveness is not for you to hang with them. That's not what I'm saying. Forgiveness is for you to be able to take the next step forward. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to be no buddies. You ain't got to be no, hey, what's up? What's going on? Let's hang out. No. Because they may never, ever think they did anything to you that was wrong. So forgiveness is really about you. I'm like, y'all, you can do what you want, but I forgive you. I don't got to like you and I ain't got to talk to you. But I forgive you so I can move on. So I can take the next, so I can live life because I'm not living it.
You're not living it and you get stuck. You know, the movie, Madea Goes to Jail. Now I'm bringing this up because of the movie. This one particular part that I liked about this part in this movie was when Madea was in jail and they were having a group session and one of the girls stood up and she was talking about how, I don't remember who her character was. I remember her character, but who it was that abused her and how she was angry and the anger kept flaring up. And the more she talked about, the more angry she got. And this is in the movie. So this is where I'm getting this from. And then Madea said, And this is when my aha moment clicked.
Mm-hmm.
So you think back how far back whenever that movie came out. This is when my aha moment kicked in. Madea said, you need, and I'm paraphrasing, you need to let that go. Because you holding on and blaming somebody for what they did to you. And that person is gone. That person is dead. That person ain't even thinking about you. They done moved on with their life. They probably don't even remember doing whatever it is that they did to you. And here you are still stuck in that same place. And this young lady was in jail. She's saying, you in jail. And I'm paraphrasing, trying to remember the movie as I can. But this was my aha moment. You still holding on to something that somebody, that people, not just one person, several people have done to you. Mm-hmm. And you can't move past that. but they going on with their life. And I start flashing back to these individuals like, that person dead and gone. That person did this to me, and he or she is never going to apologize. I know this because we can't even say hello to each other without ready to rip each other our heads off. But the voices in my head making me in my fantasy world, they gonna come up to me and apologize. They owe me that. I'm waiting for that. But those people ain't gonna never come back. And I'm saying that, so if you need to look at that little snippet in that whole movie, that's the only thing I really got good out of that movie, was that one part. That message was for me. Yeah. I had to let it go so that I could move on. That's how long I had been holding on to it. And like Renda said, voices in your head, the devil will tell you you could kill a person and get away with it.
Oh, I'm
gonna hold you up.
Murder.
It will tell you how to do it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Listen, got the perfect one.
The reason I left Chicago, I'm not gonna hold you up, is, and I was really bad. I was so depressed in Chicago because the devil was messing with me, and the devil was telling me how I could kill two people and get away with it. And not so get good. Arrested. I'm telling you, I knew then that I had to leave Chicago because those thoughts started becoming very, very vivid. Mm-hmm. And that was from the anger and the trauma that I had experienced from those two individuals. And they and I would see them, and they were laughing, and they were going on with their lives. And I'm sitting there depressed, and I'm working every day,
hurting.
And I'm more hurting, mm-hmm. and I'm eating more, and I'm getting bigger, and I'm depressed. And I just wanted them to hurt because I was hurting because they hurt me. And the devil starts saying, you know, if you kill them, you could get away with it. I could show you how to do that. You could this and you could that and blah, blah, blah. And then one day, one of my girlfriends at the time was saying, and female friend, when I say girlfriend, friend girl, let me say it that way because I don't want people to misinterpret that. The gangs started messing with her son, and her son was 7. They were going up to the school trying to initiate young boys at the age of 7 and 8. And she was fighting. She was a straight up thug mama. She was ready to fight every last one of them. And this is what saved me. My son was 5. And they were in private school. And I said, if I stay here, this is going to happen to my son. And I'm really going to kill somebody. And that's when I started then. I'm packing up and I'm moving to Michigan. And I left Chicago maybe less than 6 months after that. But had I stayed in Chicago, I'd have called a case. Because the devil told me I could do it and get away with it. I'm not playing. I'm telling you, the voices in your head from the trauma, because you create these fantasy worlds, and then you start talking to yourself, and then these voices start talking back to you, mm-hmm. and you think it's just you trying to, you know, analyzing, yep, this is, yep, we could do that.
No,
yep,
that's well, the yep. enemy.
That's the enemy talking to you, telling you, hey, yeah, you want a little sippy sip? It's going to make you feel good. Just drink this. You ain't going to remember nothing. You're going to wake up worse than what you did. You're going to have a hangover out this world. You're not going to remember half the stuff that you did the day before. Same with drugs. You take a little bit, and the little bit, because it makes you feel good, it numbs that pain. You want more. You eat more. You this, and then you become isolated, and you go in your room and you hide. Mm-hmm. And I'm a hide because I don't want people seeing me doing my drugs. I don't want people seeing me drinking. I don't want to see people eating. I don't want people to know that this is who I really am.
Yeah. And the thing is this, while the enemy is talking to you, he's trying to trap you. He's trying to trap you in a cycle, and then he's trying to end your life.
End your life.
Because once you make that decision, you can't take it back. There's no rewind in those decisions that you make. So really, while he's doing all that talking conversation that he's doing, he's really trying to kill your life, kill you from having a life. But I'm so grateful to God that he's able to capture our thoughts and that he's able to give us those aha moments or allow us to see other things and say, you know what? You're going to have to leave this situation. And I'm going to have to move you in order to save you.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how God can allow us to see somebody else's life situation and say, okay, I'm not doing that. I'm not going that way. And pulls us into a different place. Because I think when you left Chicago, that was definitely your saving grace.
It, and my kids even tell me that to this day. They're like, that's the best decision you could have made for us.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. A lot of things happen. I had, and we ain't gonna even talk about a whole different level of trauma that I experienced in Michigan. But my son was able to go to college full ride. Tuition paid in full because I moved to Michigan. A lot of good things happened for my children in Michigan. My children probably would have never been able to have the friends that they have now because we moved to Michigan. So a lot happened, but there's good things that come when you let go and you really hold on, especially when you save. And the difference with me was, even though I was in that depressed state and I was dealing with that trauma and the devil was talking to me, I was still a child of God because I've always given my life was given to God at the age of 5. And let me help some of you all know, when the devil's coming at you, your soul is not yours to give or sell to the devil. Let me help you with that. Your soul is not yours. It belongs to God from day one. So while you trying to sign your life over and sell your soul to the devil, that's the only way he can get is to trick you. Your soul belongs to God. So don't let an enemy get in your ear and tell you, well, I can paint you. I'm going to show you this pretty picture. If you just sign this away, if you give you this, I promise. Like he did Jesus. And when Jesus was on the hill, on the mountaintop, if you just bow down to me and I'll give you this. And then Jesus said, what? Man, back off. This ain't yours to give me. What are you talking about? Come on now. So remember that you belong to God. You are a child of God. You were made and created in the image of God, and he loves you no matter what you're doing and how you do it or where you at right now. He loves you, and he's just waiting on you to just call his name. Just say, Jesus.
Yeah.
I promise you he'll show up.
Yes, he will. And
even in a drunken state, a drug state.
Yes, he will.
A lot of drunks and alcoholics and drug addicts will tell you, I was on the floor in a bathroom and I called on the name of Jesus.
And the Lord
and they got clean like that. Clean instantaneously. Yeah.
My dad is literally, if he was still living, he'd be a living witness. How God, he didn't go to AAA. He didn't do how God took alcohol from him like that. Just took the taste out of his mouth. So I seen it for myself. And then like you were saying about your soul, whether you sign your soul over to the devil or say, here you go, have all souls belong to God. And when you die and leave this earth, your soul is still going to return to God and he's going to judge it nevertheless. So whether you do the enemy's bidding or not, your soul is still got to go back to God regardless. And from that point, he gonna set judgment. So you may think that you're doing the enemy's bidding. I don't care who you are. Your soul is going to return back to the one who gave it to you. And then he going to judge it accordingly. So you might want to watch, make a different choice. I'm going to say it like that. Make a different choice. And before we get off of here tonight, Darina and Dawn, I know y'all got some scriptures on tonight for those that are listening.
Before I give you one scripture that really hit me, I just want to say, you know how you always hear the scripture, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy?
Mm-hmm.
Kill doesn't have to be a physical death.
Come on now.
That's right. Say
because
it.
If he can kill your mind.
Thank you. There you go.
If he can kill your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There are other types of death. The whole point is to stop you from moving forward.
That's right.
To stop you from walking into your destiny. To stop you from fulfilling your purpose.
Oh.
That to stop you from fulfilling your destiny that God has placed in you. If he can kill that, he has succeeded.
He has succeeded. Yes.
The one scripture that I you know just love is Psalms 38. It talks about how I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Psalms 34, not 38. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm.
Saves those who are crushed in spirit. that scripture tells me that it don't matter who you are or where you are.
Where you are.
He is able to step in, reach down, and save you. So it doesn't matter what type of suffering you are in, how much anguish you feel. Because all of that was taken to the cross and annihilated. Yes. Just
wow. Dawn, you have anything
to say? Girl, listen, I got so much.
there's
10 Bible verses to help battle trauma. And I'm going to give this to you. And I'm sorry if we're taking a little longer, but y'all going to have to bear with us. Because this needs to be said. And again, remember, we don't have a heaven or hell to put neither one in, nobody in. And we're not trying to, and we ain't judging nobody. What's TikTok verse say? We listen and we don't judge. So we are here and we're being transparent and we're sharing with you guys. But there's 10 Bible verses to battle trauma. I'm going to give you the devil's lie and I'm going to give you God's truth. So if you want to write them down, write them down. The devil will tell you, you will never get past this. And God's truth is, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings, you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler.
Mm-hmm.
You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walk in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. So you don't have to deal with those nightmares and those anxiety attacks. That's Psalms 91:46. Mm-hmm. And then that same thing, 91:4-6. But may the God of all grace, who is called to us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's 1 Peter 5:10. The devil's lie is God doesn't care about you. God's truth is, that's found in 1 Peter 5:6-7. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and low in the heart. And I apologize. That's in Matthew 11:28-30. I apologize. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. 1 Peter 5:6-7 is therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Remember that. Satan lie. God can't be good. He caused this confusion and emotional trauma that you are experiencing. That's the devil's lie. But God's truth is, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So the reason you are here, the reason that you're going through what you're going through and what you are experiencing, is not for you, but for the person that God has for you to meet. There's somebody that you have. There's a reason, a season, a lifetime that people come into your life. And you have to understand that you are still important. There's a reason you are still here. I don't care what your situation looks like, but you are here for a reason. And if you just hold on to that scripture.
Boom.
In Genesis 50:20. It's not for you, but the saving of many lives. So God is not the author of confusion. You're going through it, but if you just call on his name, I promise you, if you just call his name, the devils, the demons, everything's going to flee. They know who the name of Jesus is.
Can't stand it.
They can't stand it. And sometimes you just have to keep saying, sometimes you can't say nothing else but Jesus. 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 I promise you, you'll have peace. I promise you.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, and I'm going to cut this short. The devil will tell you, the trauma you experienced, it's your fault. It's all your fault that you got raped. It's all your fault that they beat you. It's all your fault that people don't like you. It's all your fault they didn't know how to treat you. And you're going to live with it forever. That's when the devil gets in your mind and try to control you and tell you it's your fault when it's not. But the scripture that counteracts that is God's truth. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 1 Corinthians 5 and 17. That's that first scripture. I am he who blots out all of your transgressions. When you call on the name of God, when you ask for forgiveness, when you say, Lord, help me, he hears you and he comes. He sends the angels, disperse them immediately to come to your side. And he blots out all of that. Cover it with Jesus' blood and don't even remember it. He don't. Mm-hmm. It's done deal. Done deal. Done deal. For my own sake, I will not remember your sins. And that's Isaiah 43:25. So with that being said, we love you guys. We do.
We Alice love
is going to pray us out because she don't always pray. So we're going to make her pray tonight. But
So y'all, if you want to seed into this ministry, you can go to $ Let's Talk About It Pod 23. Again, $ Let's Talk About It Pod 23 and sow into this ministry. So, Father God, we thank you on tonight. We thank you because you said that if we call upon your name, you would answer. God, you said if we cast all our cares upon you, God, that you would carry them, oh God. So, God, we ask you on tonight, God, that you would touch, that you would heal, and help us to forgive those that have hurt us, God. That we can walk in those things that you have called us to walk in, God. And Father God, we ask you to allow everything that we have been through, God, let it be a way that we can use it for kingdom. And God, we thank you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. And we thank you for your love toward us, God. And help us to let go and trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you guys, until next Friday, let's talk about it.
Night, night. Night, everybody. We love y'all. Love you.